Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan.
Quarterback being discussed in Broncos country.
Can we be there?
And it is dividing a room. Matt Smith filling for Stoke today.
Do you almost slip coming out of your house this morning too? Because it was almost a full yard sale for me. I almost just totally up north. It was just a sheet of ice.
So I live in Centennial. Didn't get anything.
Oh, yeah. It's a sheet. Tons of accidents up there. Just a sheet. The roads, the sidewalks, the whole nine. I almost just totally ate it coming out of my house this morning.
Stoke texted me and Richie and said that he may not be leaving the morning show, like, ever. To which I said, if the trade is me getting stink in return, I am rushing to the podium with that trade card.
You'll be happy to take it.
All right. There's a new quarterback being discussed in Broncos country. It is dividing a room. You may have heard of him. His name is Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yep.
Jimmy G.
Jimmy Geezer.
Who is playing in the second round of the NFL playoffs here this weekend in a game on Saturday evening against the Green Bay Packers, which I just...
Feels great, baby.
I just cannot wait for that football game. I can't wait for any of the games this weekend. But Jimmy G is a new name discussed, and this was this the name that was floated by Mike Klesch?
Yeah. This and Kirk Cousins last week.
This and Kirk Cousins, right.
James and I, yeah.
Yes. Let's ask the question first. Do you think the 49ers will move on from Jimmy Garoppolo regardless of what happens for the rest of the season?
I feel like I would try to hang on to him only because Trey Lance is such a big question mark because he's definitely not ready. I mean, he's inexperienced in his football career as it is, but what we've seen from him this year, there have been flashes of brilliance. But overall, I don't know that they're ready to hand him the keys. So if it were me, I would have a hard time letting him get out of the building. But if somebody came around with a first round pick, then you could get my attention. Because he only got one more year left on his deal.
I think a first round pick, like, if someone gave the 49ers a first round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo, I mean, gosh,
I'd be stunned.
You would have to do that deal. Is someone going to give you a first round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo? That's the question.
No doubt.
And I think it's a new question. If the 49ers go into Green Bay and win this weekend.
You bet. You bet. Absolutely it is. First of all, I don't know if he would even be available at all. The list from Klist to me seemed like a Broncos wish list of guys that they would like to go get. Those are going to be their first four targets. They will make plays for one. If it doesn't work with one, they'll try and make a play for two. If it doesn't work with two, three and four. But to me, when you look at Jimmy and Kirk, because those were the two names that Klist gave us that day, they are such significant upgrades over anything you can get for 2022, be it in the draft or in free agency, that you have to consider that. Because the Broncos are in a situation where they have enough talent that they want to try and start winning now. They've been trying to win now. It's just not working.
Wouldn't this be a pretty close representation to what the Broncos have been trying to do?
Yeah, but it's a short-term thing because I think you're kind of bridging the transition phase with a better quarterback. See, I have had a problem with this whole talk that you know, what's the difference between Case Keenum and Jimmy Garoppolo? Jimmy Garoppolo took the 49ers to a Super Bowl. Jimmy Garoppolo has been an established player in this
league.
Did
Jimmy Garoppolo take the 49ers to a Super Bowl?
Does it matter?
Or did the Niners take Jimmy Garoppolo to the Super Bowl?
You're right, it does matter, because you could use that same argument with Rex Grossman right against me, and you'd absolutely be correct. So there's no doubt about it. But I do think that there's a significant upgrade between Jimmy G and whatever else you could get draft and free agency. So I think that represents enough of a margin that is a move you have to pursue if it comes to that.
Jimmy G or Jameis Winston?
Jimmy G. No doubt.
Jimmy G.
Old crab legs? No. No, thanks.
Jimmy G. Or Kirk Cousins, considering what you're going to have to pay slash give
and
up
guys. I agree with Tyler here. With the amount of money that you're going to have to take on to get Kirk Cousins and the type of player that Kirk has been, look, he hasn't played well in big games, but he's proven to be a potential, you know, has he proven to be a franchise quarterback? They're not winning. That's the problem. But I think there's so much more dysfunction outside of just him. I will say this was the best year of Kirk's career, in my opinion. And I think if you bring in Kirk Cousins, it's probably with the idea that you're going to keep him around long term because of what you're going to have to give up to get.
Yes, yes. Kirk Cousins, now, I have been accused in the past, maybe fairly, of being a Kirk Cousins just sort of how about this? A Kirk Cousins truther.
Okay.
That this dude, the rap that he gets put on him, it's Derek Carr-esque.
I kind of don't disagree with you.
Like, here in Broncos, could you bring up Derek Carr? And people are like, oh, Derek Carr. He's like, hold on. Derek Carr is damn good. Okay? Kirk Cousins is damn good.
I agree, man.
I think he's about the 11th to 13th best quarterback in the league. Well, here's a question I would have. If Kirk Cousins was the quarterback of these Broncos in 2021, the 7-10 record would turn to.
Okay, now I got to get the schedule out here. 7-10 record. The Baltimore game becomes a ton different. The Pittsburgh game becomes a ton different. A lot of these.
The Browns game on Thursday night when you're playing Case Keenum and the backup Browns.
Yeah. So does the Washington game. Even though you won that game, it still didn't feel like a win. The Philly game, you're not getting blasted by Philly like you did. Probably not. You're at least competing in that game.
You don't lose 15-10 at home.
He gives you a chance to win every single one of these on the schedule, which I don't think they necessarily had before.
So I think with these Broncos, and maybe I'm a little bit bullish on Kirk, and you know,
I'm open to that, too. Look, I mean, he hasn't proven in big games that he can get the job done. But
what about going on the road to New Orleans and winning a playoff game?
No doubt about it. But that's, kind of an isolated thing. There's a bigger sample size of him not rising to meet the moment, which is why I understand a lot of people are out on Kirk Cousins. But when I watch him, just eye test, the talent is there. He has, he has all the talent in the league. Look at what he's done with Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen. I mean, Justin Jefferson's a heck of a player. Don't get me wrong. Absolutely outstanding player. But at the same time, Kirk has done a lot to help him out there.
Yeah. Like, what if you told Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson that Kirk Cousins wasn't going to be their quarterback next year?
Yeah, exactly. They're going to get Sean Mannion.
Yeah. And what if you told Jerry Jeudy and Noah Fant that Kirk Cousins was going to be their quarterback next year?
Exactly. Like, that's what we're talking about here. So I do think that there's a conversation to be had about whether or not you go do that. Now, are you going to be willing to give up the 9th overall pick this year to go do that? Because it will be at least one first rounder, I would imagine.
For Kirk, yeah. I think these Broncos would have been 10-7 this year with Kirk Cousins.
Only 10-7 with Kirk Cousins.
10-7.
Okay.
Because I still think that the Broncos have issues. Sometimes we have a tendency to talk about the Broncos like they're just one quarterback away. There's some other stuff.
You're right. There's only two games that they lost this year where I could say without a doubt they win those games with Kirk Cousins. Those being the Cleveland game you mentioned, they absolutely win that with Kirk Cousins. And the Cincinnati game at home, they win with Kirk Cousins.
What do I think the Broncos record with Jimmy Garoppolo would be with these Broncos? Matt? I think they'd be 7-10. I do. I think they'd be the same 7-10
with this coaching staff, maybe.
Yeah, if everything was the same,
all things being equal.
Because I think Jimmy Garoppolo is not.
So then you don't go get him, Zach, and you run it back at a cheaper option.
I would not. I would rather trade for Gardner Minshew and do it on the cheap with an understanding that this is a short term, not be teased by, hey, well, he's only started X amount of games, he could play for another decade, and you know maybe you give up the first round pick for him, and he's a player. Jimmy G, I think, is, and I don't want to reduce his success to being a total outright product of being in San Francisco, but man, he's in a pretty good situation.
Yeah. Yeah, he's in a great situation, and Kyle Shanahan's been lucky to have him. Kyle Shanahan's record without Jimmy Garoppolo is 8-28.
Yeah, I heard Evan say that the other morning.
Yeah, and they're 33-15 together. I mean, look, you think Kyle Shanahan's in a hurry to get him out of there? No, he's not. I promise you he's not.
I just wonder where they stand with Trey Lance. Like, Trey Lance, just the...
It's a project.
He's
a project.
The initial sniff test was not as, perfumey as you would like.
No. Yeah, he's a project. He's got a giant arm. He's a wonderful athlete. But playing, as we know, playing the quarterback position takes a lot more than that. It's really primarily about what's between the ears. And, gosh, he didn't look ready to me. And are they going to go into a season next year where they have a talented roster? That's a roster that's ready to at least contend for that division, as we saw this year. And capable of winning playoff games? Are they going to hand the keys to Trey Lance? I don't know. They already have Garoppolo under contract.
That's
so it's going to have
thing,
to be,
like,
make me an offer you can't refuse.
But that's the thing. Like, if you are having real success with Jimmy Garoppolo and going to a Super Bowl with Jimmy G, and I know they didn't get over the hump. Actually, a couple of his misses this past weekend reminded me of him missing Emmanuel Sanders in the biggest game a couple of years back.
I want to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Exactly.
But if you are having real success with Jimmy and going on the road and beating the Packers in Green Bay would be tangible, real success.
And I think it's a possibility.
It's not crazy. This league is wild, man. So it's not crazy. I don't think it's going to happen, but it's not crazy. And you're simultaneously looking at Trey, the future, as still needing to be, incubated a little bit. I just wonder if he's going to be back in San Francisco.
You got to be careful putting the cart before the horse there. And like I said, this is the Broncos' wish list. That's why we're talking about. This is what they want. They would ideally love to go get a veteran because there's the truth. Why do they want to go get a veteran when they have a top 10 pick in the draft and 11 draft picks? It's because there's nobody they want in the draft. Like, that's pretty obvious
to me. At quarterback.
Yeah. Absolutely. And honestly, if you want my real opinion here, Zach, my real opinion.
I don't want the fake one.
Is I don't blame them for punting on the quarterback decision this year and going next year. I really don't. I have to be honest with you. I just don't.
Wait, you're saying punting on this class that we're about to have in this April?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I thought you were talking about last class.
Last class, you absolutely should have tried one of those guys out. No doubt about it. I didn't think Justin Fields was going to be a hit, and we're seeing in Chicago he certainly doesn't look like a hit.
But I still think
you should have tried it, to be honest, at that point in time. That he has enough upside there at that value at the biggest, most important position on your team. You probably should have tried it. However,
without having to move.
Exactly. But I also don't subscribe that it's a failed draft class just because he didn't take that guy there. The PFF just ranked the Broncos rookie class the second in the league this year. George Payton did a great job in the draft.
So I agree with you.
You can't just conjure these guys up, out of thin air, right? Your perfect franchise quarterback.
Well, I think that two things are true here. I do think George Payton fumbled the first round pick and not going quarterback. But I also am not going to let that say, and my good friend in the afternoon, D-Mac, saying, hey, the class is an F. It gets ranked an F. I just can't see how with
But I get where he's coming from, though.
I do, too, because you're saying this one thing is so massively important, you didn't address it. So what is a corner and a running back going to do to try to make up that ground of what you didn't do? I get his philosophy. I'm just willing to be a little bit more flexible and say, I wish you had addressed it. I wish they addressed. Like, if we're going into this offseason and Mac Jones was the quarterback here, I would, it's something for me to hold on to. I don't have anything to hold on to right now. The quarterback class is down. The free agency class is down. And this escape hatch that is being dangled in front of us is way improbable. And there's really no other example of it in NFL history.
None.
So for all those reasons, I am regretful what happened on George Payton's first draft night. But I also have to have a wisdom of a football fan and look at Javonte Williams and look at Pat Surtain and look at four other rookies in addition to those two who were on the field year one playing pretty good. Like, dude, like, we've had entire classes where 2 years into it, one guy is in Saskatchewan, the other guy is changing positions, and the other guy is, a star in Buffalo.
Right. And as a general manager, you have to evaluate the best way to build your entire team. There's 11 guys on the field at the same time. You need talented players on the field. And so if you look at Patrick Surtain and say, hey, that's a can't-miss corner for 10 years, I know he's going to be that guy. But at quarterback, you're saying, gosh, you know, there's red flags here on this guy. We've got red flags here. Then I'm in the camp that don't take the quarterback, personally. Really, that's just me. Because if you've evaluated Patrick Surtain and you say, that guy's going to be a star corner for us, and we already know we're really not competing for next year, and we don't believe in these guys, if you don't believe in those guys,
yeah, if you don't believe
then
in them,
do
then,
not
then,
draft them.
Nope. And that's where there has to be a certain level of trust with the guy that is choosing the groceries, and that is George Payton. I don't truly, authentically know how he felt about Justin Fields or Mac Jones.
Right.
I don't, and I'm not in his brain. We'll probably never know unless he does some tell-all, like in 10 years, whatever.
But, so let me put it out this way. He takes Justin Fields at 9 last year. Then the Broncos are faced with a situation where they have to design an entire offense almost around him with Pat Shurmur. Really, that's what you think the best option for the Broncos is going
to
be?
To which I say, and I understand the thought, and it's a fair thought, but my rebuttal has always been to that. If you are letting Pat Shurmur dictate drafting or not drafting a franchise quarterback, you're just all sorts of dysfunctional.
And they were.
And I hope that that truly wasn't a component of the equation. But to try to act like it definitively was not, I just don't know. So.
Right, but let's just pose this scenario. If that exact question came up, what do you think they would have done? Do you think they would have kept Pat Shurmur, or do you think they would have drafted a player who was higher on their board?
God, if it's not...
They had last year.
If it's not... If they loved him and they didn't do it because Pat Shurmur's presence...
Which is clearly not what happened. Because if you love the guy, you take him, Zach. You're right.
You have to. And if you're in that situation and you don't, then you got the wrong guy in charge. That's all. The Denver Nuggets made a trade. Good conversation. We'll circle back. That was fun. I told you we're going to talk about the Nuggets trade. I want to talk about the Nuggets trade. So we're going to talk about the Nuggets trade. It happened last night.
This is
going to
be interesting.
It was broken by Adrian Wojnarowski at, you know, whatever it was, 9:30 at night or something like that. So a lot of
little
people,
Woj bomb.
Yeah, little Woj bomb, late night Woj bomb. The Denver Nuggets traded away PJ Dozier and Bol Bol. All right. The Nuggets got in return a player by the name of Bryn Forbes. The Spurs were a third team within the trade. So we had a three teamer here. It was a full blown Nuggets trade. They're all Nuggets or former Nuggets or now new Nuggets. It was Juancho Hernan Gomez who is now headed
Juancho!
To San Antonio. Okay, so Celtics get PJ Dozier and Bol Bol. Nuggets get Bryn Forbes. Spurs get Juancho Hernan Gomez. I thought, and it always comes in this context. It's January 18th. Today's January 19th. Trade happened January 18th. You are in late January, okay? Given the context of who they gave up, what the players were doing that they gave up, who they got in return at this time of year, I thought it was a massive win.
Huge win.
For the organization.
Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. They currently really don't have an NBA guard you can bring off the bench, and they went and got one. So there you go. And Richie's got to be happy because it's a former Spartan.
It's a Sparty.
Which, and let's be real here, Bryn Forbes isn't going to bring you any defensive acumen. He's one of the better, you know, off-ball kind of catch-and-shoot guys that you can bring off the bench in the league. And the Nuggets need scoring from that second unit. Quite frankly, Zach, it's pathetic and embarrassing
it's bad at times right now.
It's
bad, yeah.
And it's not a move, as John Hollinger would suggest, that indicates the Nuggets can... think they can actually compete for something because they're making this Bryn Forbes deal. That's why they made the deals, because they think there's going to be something to give. No, it's because it's been embarrassing and it's disrespectful to Nikola Jokic not to have anybody who's a real NBA player to bring off the bench. You can't be relying on Facu Campazzo and Austin Rivers and Bones Highland, and no disrespect, he's a first-round rookie, that'd be great, but Bones really on a good team wouldn't be seeing maybe more than 12 to 15 minutes a game.
Yeah, and he's a rookie, and you know he'll have nights like he had, what was it, against Portland, you know, late last week where, you know, he goes for 27 points and makes a bunch of threes.
Yeah.
But he also had a month straight where it didn't look like he could hit the water if he fell out of a boat.
No doubt.
So he's promising, but he's a rookie, right? He's a rookie. I like the move of bringing Bryn Forbes to Denver because the Nuggets have been missing one thing, and they've been missing it like for years, and they tried to address it when they drafted Tyler Lydon in 2008.
No, they didn't. They scrambled and fell face first into Tyler Lydon. That was the biggest mistake they've ever made. Derek White was right there.
Look, I was talking into this microphone on draft night that night and said, if Tyler Lydon's on the floor for you, you're in big trouble. But what I meant by saying that is the Nuggets have been trying to address shooting. They don't have knockdown shooters in a day and age where that is such a currency in today's NBA, and they have that. You mentioned catch and shoot. Second Spectrum, a terrific, you know, stat analytical website, put it out there that Bryn Forbes has shot 45% on catch and shoot three-pointers in the last two seasons. That is the fifth best mark in the NBA with names like Joe Harris, Seth Curry. He's in that group. The Nuggets haven't had, even when Jamal Murray is healthy, and I've talked a lot about this on the Mile High Hoops podcast over the years, which we'll be recording after the show here again. Even Jamal Murray is not a natural catch and shoot player. Jamal wants to put it down, build rhythm into a shot. So the Nuggets just don't have a lot of these guys, and I think that...
And haven't for a long time.
They haven't for a long time, which is why I referenced Tyler Lydon. Like, it's like they've been looking for this for a long time, and for Bryn Forbes to be a truly, like, I mean, you're talking about a top five catch and shoot, a three-point maker in the last two seasons. You're talking about a guy for his career... is a, you know, 40%+, 41% type of three-point shooter. I Bol Bol, like, and I try to tell these guys around the station, like, kind of like Tyler Lydon, my sentiment on draft night, like, if Bol Bol was playing major minutes for you, like, Bol Bol's not playing major minutes for a team that's trying to win a championship. Facu Campazzo isn't playing major minutes for a team that's trying to win a championship. Bol Bol is, he's a like a massive.
These are big apples and oranges, Bol Bol and Tyler Lydon, though. I have to caution you. Tyler Lydon was a first round pick. Bol Bol was a second round pick.
I'm speaking in generality in terms of these guys are not on the floor for teams that are actually trying to compete.
Yes, no doubt about it.
But in terms of just Bol Bol, like, you know, you hear oftentimes from like a sculptor or something like that work with like clay, like they see what this thing is when everyone else sees this massive clump of clay, and it's their job to kind of take away, you know, all this other stuff, and there's this masterpiece lying underneath. And I think with Bol Bol, there's some of that. It's like he, and I'm going to use the most overused term ever, it's like he's a unicorn. He's, you know, seven blank blank. He can pass and dribble and shoot. And I never thought it was going to translate. I said that after the draft. I got yelled at by Tyler and T-Mac and Stokely. They all love Bol Bol. Bol Bol, there is something missing from Bol Bol, and it has nothing to do with anything tangible or measurable. There's something missing there from a competitive standpoint, from a willpower standpoint, from a... you know, from a humility standpoint as well. He's a young guy. And the Nuggets, look, I think if the Nuggets could have done this in the preseason, they would have. So Bol Bol wasn't seeing the floor for you, and he was a malcontent. You can get him out of here. PJ Dozier's on the last year of his contract. He's on an ACL. So you traded two guys that not only weren't playing for you, Dozier probably would have been in the fold here, you know, probably, I think. I don't know. But you're not missing anything tangible right now. You get in a guy who can actually shoot the basketball, spread the floor a little bit for Jokic. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say this is going to move the needle and why they're going to get out of the second round. Not doing that. But I think it's a good trade.
Oh, no, I think it was a really good trade. Tons of stuff, obviously, I'd love to respond to there, but different time, different place. The only thing I will say about, and let's focus on the future here, about this trade. First of all, you've got two wasted roster spots that you just opened up, and you have a team that is struggling to put enough NBA talent on the floor on a night-to-night basis around Nikola Jokic. When you remove Nikola Jokic, this is the worst basketball team in the National Basketball Association.
Correct.
There is no argument about that. That we see that every night when he goes, you know, did you know this? They lead the league in first half scoring, but they are last in the league in second half scoring.
Is that right?
I've never heard of that.
In the first quarter, they're like one of the best teams in the sport.
I mean, that should never happen. That is so backwards, and that's such an indictment on the roster that they've constructed. And not only that, but also Michael Malone, even though he's working with just very little there, that you cannot allow that to happen. Anyway, my point here is Bryn Forbes should get a lot of open shots in this offense because this is a very unselfish offense. And if you can make a high percentage of your open looks catch and shoot, you should be able to provide a punch off the bench. And quite frankly, Bryn Forbes is a guy who started in this league. So if you needed spot starts from him, you very well could get that. They tried to get Rodney Magruder for Bol Bol. Rodney Magruder would have been a much better defender than Bryn Forbes is. More of a tough-nosed guy, get-downhill guy. Bryn Forbes, more of a, you know, like you say, three-point shooter, 45% catch-and-shoot last 2 years. And you brought up Seth Curry and the other name, Joe Harris.
Yeah.
Joe Harris signed a $72 million contract. Seth Curry signed a four-year, $32 million contract. Bryn Forbes is on a one-year, $4.5 million deal. This is a rental. You can try him out. If it works, great. Bring him back as a depth piece. He just won a championship in Milwaukee last year.
Played almost 20 minutes a game for that team.
Been a part of a great culture in San Antonio. This is a no-brainer deal. You're giving up PJ Dozier, who would have been a nice piece if he were healthy, but at the same time, you already have so many guys banged up. You have no time to wait around for him to get healthy. And Bol Bol was potential at his best when you took him. That's why you took him. It never panned out. Time to move on. And right now, it's actually embarrassing. So it's time to move on right now.
Yeah, I'm glad they did. And we're up against it. But I like the point that you talked about with San Antonio's culture. That's where NBA guys can be different. That's where Bryn Forbes started his career. That is where your professionalism is formed. It was in San Antonio. He goes to Milwaukee, but he was a free agent. He chose to go back to that environment in San Antonio. Maybe that bodes well for a fit here culturally in Denver.
No doubt.
Okay. Is there cause for concern when it comes to one of the current favorites to land the Broncos head coaching gig? Take a dive into that coming up next.
Keeping my head on top of my shoulders. And it's I'm out of the box. This the level I'm on.
It's Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
I'm maintain how I'm staying so high. Put the ladder all the way up till we touching the sky. And you know you're dead wrong, you would love with a lie. All I wanna do is free your mind. We don't see no lines, we don't color aside. It's a very small world, we don't put the size. Yeah, see the bigger picture when it's
Mac Miller would have been 30 years old today.
Is that right? Today was his birthday.
Yeah,
man.
Gotta be careful.
Why you worried that it's gonna be?
All right. In just a couple minutes, we're gonna look at Mel Kiper's first mock draft. It is officially hashtag mock season. All right, especially when one of the Godfathers puts out his first of the year. That is just a couple short minutes from now. Matt Smith filling in for Brandon Stoke. Stokely will be back tomorrow. I'll believe it when I see it. Is there cause for concern?
Did he even invite you on the golf trip?
No. Golf trip.
That's Stokes golf trip?
Stokes golf trip.
Yeah. Didn't he take 9 days off and then came back and then he left you again?
Stoke has taken so many golf trips over the years that they get lost.
They get lost.
But
it's a good thing you don't take it personal then.
No. Can't do that.
No.
But Stoke will be back tomorrow. He's been pinch hitting on the morning show, doing a great job there with Mike. They sound like they've been having a great time. Is there cause for concern, Matt, when it comes to one of the current favorites to land the Broncos head coaching gig? I'm talking about Dan Quinn. Do you accept the premise that he is the favorite here?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think there's any question. And I would be surprised if he wasn't the hire.
You may have to have Dan Quinn pick you.
I still think that Denver is the best option out of his choices that he's going to have. And it also helps that he's got a really good relationship with George Payton and wanted Payton to be the GM in Atlanta.
He's got a great relationship with George. He really does. But if you're Dan, you have to be
That's why Jonathan Gannon is getting an interview today, is because he's got a relationship with George Payton. You can't convince me that he's one of the 10 best guys for this job.
No, no, but George is a relationship guy. And, you know, who knows the true intent behind interviewing Jonathan Gannon today? Don't know. But in terms of Dan Quinn, I don't know if, like, if you're Dan, you got to be so selfish right now, because this is probably going to be the last opportunity that you get as a head coach. Very rarely does someone get fired twice and then get a third head coaching job and have no Super Bowls to show for it. Like, typically, that's not the case.
I need to know that list now. Now you've got my brain working on who that could be. Who's gotten a third chance? I can't think of anybody off the top of my head.
Either can I.
I'm sure they're out there, though. I'm sure that's happened before. No doubt. You think so, Rich? You think that's ever happened? Three times for one guy?
I'm sure the text line will help us out.
Yeah, please
do.
Well, Quinn is only 51 years old, right? So, yeah. You know, he kind of looks a little bit old and 51 to me, but he's only 51, so it's not like he's some, you know, an older guy. He's 2 years older than Aaron Glenn was, and we were talking about Aaron Glenn and how inexperienced Aaron Glenn was.
Right. But typically that third opportunity, it's not about age. It's about the opportunities that you don't have anymore.
No doubt. No doubt about it.
And so I brought that up because you got to be so selfish and meticulous, just as George Payton is on these candidates. Like, George is vetting these guys, but Dan Quinn is different than the other guys. That the other guys, if you offer them the Broncos head coaching job, they are taking it on the spot. With Dan, because he has options, he is interviewing you the same way that George is interviewing him. And the one question that I don't think that they can answer unless they know something that I don't, is who is going to play quarterback? And there is another scenario, another team that he's interviewing with that has a quarterback, and that's the Minnesota Vikings. The Minnesota Vikings also have traditionally patient ownership, and I think that matters too if you're someone like Dan Quinn has gone through the fired experience.
So I think it's a little bit complicated as it comes to Minnesota, and I just have to pull up my note here because it's interesting with the Kirk Cousins situation. So in order to acquire Cousins, the Broncos would most likely have to, or any team to acquire Cousins, or for the Vikings to offload him. In order to do that, the Broncos will most likely have to use a good chunk of that space. At the start of the 2021 league year, Cousins' $35 million base salary for 2022 became fully guaranteed. Next season, which is this coming season, the quarterback carries a $45 million cap change that accounts for 21.24% of Minnesota's salary cap. So to take that job, and unless you're trying to renegotiate an extension with Kirk Cousins, and he has shown that he's really not willing to take a discount, at least he didn't before, and there's a pretty good chance that if he hits the open market here after next season, he could get another massive payday. So I think he'd probably lean towards that, which then leaves you in a situation where you have almost no flexibility this year to upgrade that roster. So you're going to try and win now with that roster, then be faced with Kirk Cousins leaving and dealing with a rebuild when he leaves.
So that is a doom and gloom scenario.
Right. So I just don't have the Vikings that high on my list personally because of that. I think there's some hand ties there.
But at least with the Vikings, there's something tangible to point to. Like, Kirk is the quarterback of the Vikings.
He's
You could win this year. And, you know, I would imagine that, especially into his mid-30s, if the Vikings are going to continue to pay him, he'd rather be in Minnesota than, you know, take similar money elsewhere. I would think. Again, I'm kind of speculating. But I would think. Well, you think that if he would take the same money somewhere else and leave Minnesota?
I don't know. If I got the same money in a place, I don't know. Yes, I think so. Yes. I don't know.
I don't know.
If I got the same amount of money to live in Minnesota or live in a more desirable location, I'd probably want a more desirable location.
But, okay. Like where?
Anywhere not Minnesota, not Midwest. Like, yeah. San Francisco, sure. You know, L.A., you know, but none of those teams are going to be available. So then you have to go through the list of teams that will be available. Would I rather be in Denver or Minnesota? That's not even close.
Right. But that's someone who lives in Denver. Like, Kirk is different. Isn't Kirk from Michigan?
I'm from Chicago, Zach.
I think he's from the Michigan, because I remember him. I think he spends his off seasons in Michigan. We know he went to Michigan State, but
But so he just might be different. Like, and again, I don't know where
he's from. Illinois.
Oh, Illinois. Yeah. Just like you.
Just like me.
Okay.
Yeah. And let me tell you, most people in Illinois, you ask them, you'd rather be in Colorado or Illinois, they're going to pick Colorado. It's just not that hard of a choice.
I just don't know if these quarterbacks are picking their quarterback
destination.
No, definitely
not. But you ask
how
me,
much sun they get.
But all things being equal, if he's going to get the same amount of money, right, in the after next offseason to go there, to come to Denver, than he would to stay in Minnesota, I'd rather be in Denver for the twilight years.
Okay. Okay. It's if you're Dan, though, if you're Dan Quinn, maybe Denver is a number one choice for him. It probably is. It probably is. Denver's probably Dan's number one choice.
Would you rather go work for the McCaskies and the Bears with all the dysfunction there? Just asking. We'll go through the list.
Would you rather work with who's going to be your owner here?
I see. I don't have a problem with that because you know that you're going to be working more directly with George Payton. Whoever's going to be your owner here is going to be signing your big old checks. And you're probably going to negotiate for a 5-year deal to match George Payton's so that if you do get fired, they're still on the hook for that money.
All right. Mel Kiper put out his first mock draft. Did he have the Broncos taking a quarterback in the top 10? We'll fill you in coming up next.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
Mel Kiper. Definitely on the Mount Rushmore of NFL draft coverage. He put out his first mock draft. There's always something to be said about the first, all right? The initial gut projection. Did he have the Denver Broncos taking a quarterback with the 9th overall pick? All right. You like mock season, Matt?
I do. I do, actually. I love it. I love it for both. You know, for pretty much all sports, except obviously Major League Baseball and hockey, it just gets way high. After like the first or second round, it's kind of a wash. But I really love the NBA. The NBA draft is my thing.
I love the
NFL draft too.
Love it. Love
this is where dreams get made. Like, that's the coolest thing in the world to me.
No doubt.
You've been working your entire life up to that point to make it there.
And you're talking about the NBA draft. You have the 1996 NBA Finals coat on.
Yeah,
Bulls coat.
The Bulls windbreaker material. You don't find too many more jackets made out of windbreaker these days. It was a unfamiliar feeling when I put it on again this morning.
That was the Sonics.
Yep.
That was George Karl Sonics.
You bet.
96.
Best team in NBA history, 95-96 Bulls.
Could you? Yes. And if not, they're top two. Could you name to me in order the Bulls championships?
Yeah, probably. Jazz. Oh, you mean in order? I'm going from back to back.
In order from 91 through 93.
Yeah, I could. We're going to go Lakers.
Bingo,
right?
Yep.
Suns. Rockets.
Mm-mm.
Blazers, that's right. Suns.
Suns in 93.
Right.
And then Jordan retires.
Then comes back.
And then it's Rockets.
Right, Rockets. See, that's what, yeah.
Okay. Yep, Rockets. Then that jacket.
Yep.
Jazz.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, back to business. We could do the basketball stuff
all day. Yeah.
Okay. Mel Kiper, number one overall pick, Jacksonville. They take Aiden Hutchinson, the defensive end from Michigan. You're seeing him like almost consensus.
It's him and Thibodeau, 1 and 2. Whoever you like more.
And not so coincidentally, Kayvon Thibodeau, the DN from Oregon, according to Mel Kiper's very first mock draft, he goes number 2 to the Lions. Get to the third pick, the Texans. They take Evan Neal, the big offensive tackle there from Alabama.
For Davis Mills.
There you go. Someone's got to protect Davis Mills. The 4th pick, New York Jets are on the clock. Kyle Hamilton, the safety from Notre Dame. Then it's the 5th pick. It's the other New Jersey team, the Giants. Now you're going to have to help me out with this one. Ikem Ekwonu, the offensive tackle from NC State, the Panthers. Thanks for your help.
Yeah, I was trying to pull it up. You're doing a great job. I was letting you go forward.
At number 6, there they take the tackle from Mississippi State, Charles Cross. So getting closer and closer to the Denver Broncos pick. The Giants have another pick inside the top 10 from a trade with the Chicago Bears. They take the outside linebacker from Michigan. So a second Michigan kid goes in the
Bears.
Top 10.
The Bears taking a linebacker?
No, the Giants taking a linebacker.
Giants taking a linebacker.
Yeah, because they have the Bears pick. So David Ojabo from Michigan, he goes number 7. And then we're 2 picks before the Broncos pick here. So the Falcons are on the clock. At number 8, they select Derek Stingley Jr., a cornerback from LSU. All right, now here, the Denver Broncos. We're on the clock. Is it a quarterback? Do they trade back? Do they get the pick in? They do. It's N'Kobe Dean.
Say what?
Inside linebacker from Georgia.
It does not make sense.
He's a baller.
No, he really is. So, okay.
Would I take him there?
So, how many years around here have we heard about the Broncos not addressing the inside linebacker position? Now, if someone wants him to take a quarterback, according to Mel Kiper's scenario, you're going to get your heart broken again.
Trivia question. How many different players started at inside linebacker for the Denver Broncos this season?
This season.
Putting you on the spot. You did it to me. Now I'm returning the favor.
I will say 6.
Eight different starting inside linebackers.
Wow.
It's ridiculous. They have to get that position shored up. And yeah, a lot of those were injuries, but no, that needs to be a focus. Whether or not it's going to be a focus that early, I don't know, but it needs to be a focus.
8 inside linebackers in one season.
That's
golly.
Crazy.
Well, Mel Kiper has the Broncos addressing that position when they draft N'Kobe Dean, inside linebacker, out of the SEC, Georgia Bulldog, national champs. And Mel Kiper says this, quote, "The Broncos need a quarterback, of course, but the feeling I get is that they're more likely to try to add a veteran in either the trade or free agency market. They have a solid roster, and a veteran could help them win right away." Where have you heard that before? "This could change as we get closer to the draft and they hire a coach, but I'm going to stay away from the quarterback here for now." Mel Kiper goes on to say, "Denver could be a great spot for the draft's best off-ball linebacker, Dean, who was the leader of the spectacular Georgia defense. He makes tackle after tackle and can run sideline to sideline to make plays. And he has 3 down potential because of his ability to cover tight ends and running backs. He'll also help as a blitzer. Dean had 6 sacks in 2021. Mel Kiper finishes up by saying the Broncos have the Rams' 2nd and 3rd round picks from the Von Miller trade, so general manager George Payton has a real chance to get this team back to the playoffs if he can nail a few early selections, as he did with Pat Surtain II and Javonte Williams last year," end quote. What do you make of it?
It's interesting. I was actually looking through the rest of the list. Malik Willis is the first quarterback he has off the board to the football team at 11. And Richie and I were looking yesterday. It was back in 2013. EJ Manuel was 16th. Yeah, 16th overall. That was the latest, the first time a quarterback has been taken most recently. That was the 16th overall pick. So,
And what year was that? I'm sorry if I
2013. EJ Manuel. Geno Smith. Yeah.
I remember that class well.
Yes, I'm sure you do. Yeah.
I said, he showed up to the interview in a suit. He's a CEO type. Let's take EJ Manuel. I was like,
The point here is that when you're seeing that type of thing for Mel Kiper not having a quarterback in the top 10,
yeah,
I think it should tell you all you need to know about this class. That's just my opinion again.
Did you throw in the qualifier that we're still a ways to go?
Yeah.
Because
the qualifier that we're still a ways to go on what, the draft?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because
with these freaking quarterbacks, man, it feels like every month that falls off the calendar, they get better and better. So weird. Without playing a game, they just get better and better.
My question is, if the Carolina Panthers don't go quarterback at 6 and take a tackle, are the fans just going to riot because of how dysfunctional things were there under Matt Rhule this year, and then they're going to run it back with Sam Darnold and Cam Newton again?
Did you see Matt Rhule's face when they asked him about giving Sam Darnold the fifth-year option? Did you
see
that
response? No, I did not. No.
It went semi-viral like a week and a half ago. Me and Richie watched it. The look of bewilderment and confusion and embarrassment.
So then it's going to be a quarterback at six, and Kuiper's wrong.
It could be. Yeah. It could be. And it wouldn't shock me if Kuiper's 2.0 or 3.0 has that happening.
Yeah.
So we shall see. We shall see. But we are officially entering.
Let me ask you this. Can I ask you this? Season. Do you think it would be a mistake to take a linebacker at nine?
Like an inside linebacker like Dean there from Georgia? No.
At nine.
No, I don't. If that's who you love and it's been a position like, and I see people, you know, there's someone said, you don't like Josie Jewell or, you know.
They won't be back.
Or Browning. Jewell's probably, he's out.
Yeah.
You know, he got better. I'm going to give it to you. 5-4-1, put your name on, give you a shout out. But we're looking for like a game changing inside linebacker.
Absolutely.
In a top 10 pick, you have to be able to be a long-term starter and a good one for your team.
Yeah, you see a guy like, you know, I don't know, Devin White, you know, just flyer. It just changes. It's a totally different ingredient to a defense.
Although I could see him moving out.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. That's another conversation. All right, what's the latest in the Broncos interviews today? We're going to check in with our good buddy, Troy Rank, coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.